before I speak, just one of the things I love to do is just to kind of wait on God and see what God's saying, and go for that. So I've asked the team, hopefully they've got some words of knowledge that we'll go after and we'll pray for. Now, I've been here many times, and one of the things you know I love to do is to challenge people to decide whether you want your breakthrough through more than you want your reputation. Okay, do you want your breakthrough more than you care about what people think? And so often what I'll do is, in response to something, I'll get you to stand where you are, rather than do the kind of polite Christian thing of just making a mental note of what Holy Spirit's pointed out to you, is to say, no, I'm going to stand, I'm going to step into what God is saying. And I believe there's breakthrough, there's a moment of grace that comes in that moment. And I used to say, don't come and see me afterwards because I'll headbutt you, all right? Because it's hard when you're standing up here, and, you know, this happened to me in Canada recently, and I was at a meeting, and I brought a very specific word of knowledge. It was for someone that was in construction. They'd had an accident, and they were suffering from the injury. And it was a church, nothing to do with New Frontiers, and they all looked like, well, like you now, caught rabbits in the headlights. Nothing. I stood there and I thought, let's start with some power and then I can go with some good sort of words after that. And nothing happened. Nobody responded. Until 2 days later, this guy said, I don't know if it was for me, but I work in construction and I had an accident, but it was years ago. And I said, but does it still hurt? Oh, yeah, still hurts, he said. Oh, I was ready to punch him. But I don't say that anymore. I don't do that anymore. All I say, and it's true, is that there's a moment of grace when you can receive from the Holy Spirit for free what you're going to have to work for later. And I'll pray for you afterwards because I'm nice like that. All right? But you will have to work harder for it. In God, you'll have to press in and work hard for it because you've missed. There's a moment of grace that comes when you can step into it for free. So I'm just encouraging, go for your breakthrough rather than you worry about what everybody else is going to think. So, ladies, have you got some stuff?
Hello. So I believe that there's someone here, or more than one person here, who's broken a bone or fractured a bone or something, had an accident, and it's not actually healed properly, and you get pain as a result of that. That's one. The next is finger pain. I think it's actually to do with your joints, finger joints, maybe arthritis or something like that. And also something I always want to go after, metal in your body. If you've got like a metal pin or something in your body, I'm believing that God will dissolve that and bring complete healing. So,
Just a couple of things for me. And I'm not sure whether they're linked. So they might be completely separate or they might be kind of linked. So I feel like God wants to deal with anxiety, and I feel like there's someone here that has like panic attacks and anxiety, maybe particularly when you're in crowded places, and that God wants to bring you breakthrough in that this morning. And the other one is, I think there's some healing from bullying, and I don't know whether the anxieties come from bullying or whether the bullying is a separate word, but I feel like there's healing and breakthrough that God wants to bring in that.
And you believe in Jesus, you love Jesus, and you're full of the Holy Spirit, why don't you just put your hands on them, and we'll pray. These ladies will sort of move around and pray for whoever they can see. So if you just start praying, and then I'll pray a blanket prayer in a moment over everybody. So if no one's praying with you yet, can you just put your hand up? So if no one's got their hand on you and you want prayer, just put your hand up. Guys, if you can have a look round and see some with their hand up to go and pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. So just quickly say, what am I praying for? I can give you the answer, and then you pray.
Comfort. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are a God who is alive. Thank you that you are the living God, and as such, you speak to us. And Father, you tell us of your desire to heal us, to make us whole, to set us free. And Father, we thank you for these words of knowledge. And now we just speak freedom into those situations. We speak healing into those situations where there's joint pain, where there's metal in the body, where there's bones that have not set right. We speak to those conditions and say, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Where there's anxiety, where there's fear, where there is pain from bullying and things in the past, we speak freedom right now into those situations. Holy Spirit, would you come? And where there is fear, would you fill them with your peace? Would you fill them with love? Because perfect love casts out all fear. And we pray, Holy Spirit, would you move right now? Come and minister. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you all so much. Anybody that had pain can testify to pain going or reducing. Maybe it was a 10, now it's a 4. Anything like that. I'd just like to know if that's the case. If it's not, well done. Thank you. There's a hand at the back. I'll take that. Pain reducing right now. Yeah, come on. Wonderful. It's great to be back with you. And it's such fun always to be here. And as has already been said, this is Hazel down here, my wife. We've been married for 25 years, which, if you know me, is a miracle in itself that she could put up with me and still smiling at all my jokes, even though she's heard them 1,000 times before, listening to the sermons over and over again. Dave Fellingham once said to me, he's a guy that planted New Frontiers with Terry Virgo. Dave was with me one time and I was just about to get up and speak in a conference. And he said to me, what are you going to be speaking on, Andy? And I said, I'm going to be speaking on culture, which is a kind of a pet topic of mine. And Dave said to me, oh, Andy, goes, it's just like being on the road with Terry all over again. And I thought, oh, he's likening me to Terry Virgo. And he then leant in and said, I had to listen to all his sermons 100 times as well. So not quite the response I was looking for, but nonetheless, that's just having Dave around with you. So it's a real honour to be here. We love being here. I love coming up and being part of what God is doing here. I have the privilege of leading the eldership team in Horsham, but I also have the privilege of getting involved with some other churches and just being in relationship and seeing what God's doing and just watching the kingdom expand. And I love doing that. I love getting to know Duncan and Jerry and Dave, obviously, before he went. And Dave is, I'm still going to be hanging out with Dave where he's gone now as well, which is brilliant. So it's because relationship is so, so important. And it's really helpful for us to just know you and to be, when you come and preach, to recognize people and know what God's doing in the church, because you can just ride the wave with you. It's not like you're trying to bring anything or do anything. I just love seeing what God's doing and blessing that. I always find it works out much better for me if I do it that way. But for me, I think everything revolves around three really important key things. One is pursuing the presence of God above all else. You know, that is the number one thing for me. The next thing is making disciples who make disciples. Okay, so that we are outward looking, we are looking to go and seek and save the lost. And the good news is that we get to operate in what I call a show and tell gospel. And I think sadly sometimes we've turned the gospel into a tell and tell gospel. Because we tell people and then we tell them again. But Jesus didn't do that. He showed them the kingdom and then told them that the kingdom was near. And that's what he told his disciples to do. He said, go heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free, and tell people, this is what the kingdom looks like. This is the kingdom. Do you want in? And those things, I think, are really important to me. And that's why I love to sort of work with the Holy Spirit, go for words of knowledge, pursue what he's doing, look for healing, because that's part of the show and tell gospel. Another part of that is testimonies, and that's why I ask, has anybody able to testify to reduce pain, because testimony builds faith, doesn't it? And it's great to tell stories of what God's doing. Hazel and I and a team just come back from Canada, and we had an amazing time there. Saw God moving, healing. We saw kind of shoulders that were frozen where someone had not been able to get their sort of arm up past there for a long, long time, just coming to complete freedom, complete healing. We saw someone had about 40% reduction in hearing in their ear. Wasn't they were deaf, I think it was blocked or whatever, had been for several weeks, getting steadily worse. And I prayed for him after the conference, and guess what happened? Nothing happened at all. But that's okay, because I'm God's favourite, so it's all right. I didn't feel kind of I was in a problem. Just so you know, you're all his favourites as well. It's not just me. But I'm okay with getting it wrong, you know. I'm okay with messing up, because heaven doesn't applaud success the way we applaud it. See, heaven applauds courage. Okay, heaven applauds when I step out, because actually it's only the Holy Spirit that is going to create the success. Two of us go out on the streets and we both pray with someone, and one of them's healed and one of them's not. We normally get the person that's prayed for healing and seed success up here. Wow, yeah, wow. And we should honour that. But what about the guy that did exactly the same thing? Because neither guy healed anybody.
That's right.
Both guys showed courage.
Yeah.
Both guys did what the Bible had asked us to do. So we have to shift. So I was okay kind of getting it wrong. And then on the Sunday, I was speaking, and I was speaking about self-reliance and asked people to stand up. And this guy had the bad ear, stood up, and the Holy Spirit came on him, and he was a wibbling and a wobbling, and he was just loving Jesus all the way through, a little bit more than I felt was appropriate, to be honest, because I was still trying to preach and he was still stood there like this, just enjoying God. Honestly, for ages, I'm not even sure it was legal that it was to be enjoying God that much while I'm preaching. But anyway, so he's there, and then when he kind of landed, he just suddenly thought, I can hear. I can hear. And in the presence of God, it just got healed. So we like telling stories. We just got back from Athens. I might even have I got any pictures? Did we get that far? Thank you so much. I landed it right on him. Oh, by the way, there's a thing. Let's see if there's a picture. Okay, so we just come back from Athens. There were 350 leaders from 31 nations gathering to kind of learn together, encourage one another. There were some faces. And if we have that, and some backs of heads that you might recognise. See, that's what Duncan looks like in leadership meetings. Yeah, yeah, looking serious. But one testimony that stands out is this guy. This guy is from a place we'll call Made Upistan, because we're not allowed to say where he's from. It's a closed country. Muslim country, and he had his back broken in three places, and he had an accident when he was a little bit younger, and he couldn't walk. He'd had surgery. All the surgeons, all the top professors from that nation and others had come and said he will never walk again. And we got another picture, I think, maybe. So there he is. That's not what he wears for fun. That's his national costume. But his testimony was his dance. And so he didn't speak. His testimony of God's healing was his dance. And what had happened was that after they tried everything, this Muslim family brought their son. They'd heard about these illegal Christians, this illegal Christian church, and they brought their son, and the church prayed for him, and he was healed. And him and the whole family came to faith in Jesus. So it's wonderful. It's good to give testimony, isn't it, to what God's doing around the world. And this morning I wanna look at actually our call to be faithful, but faithful in something. And often we get confused. We can see faithfulness as the objective, and faithfulness isn't the objective. Fruitfulness is the objective, and faithfulness is the method. Okay?
Yeah.
So the objective isn't faithfulness. Faithfulness is the method. And that's what I want to look at. I want to look at the fact that we are called to be a fruitful people.
Yeah, that's right.
And we want to make disciples who make disciples. We want to be, I believe, fruitful. And I want to ask you that question. Are you fruitful? What do you think of when I ask that question? When I say fruitful, what do you think of? The dictionary says that fruitful means producing good or helpful results. Productive. Are you productive? Is that a slightly different question, I guess? But as a Christian, are you being fruitful? As a Christian, are you being productive? And what would that mean? The truth is, you see, is that we've all been called to be fruitful. And actually, the reality is that fruitfulness is in your DNA as a new creation. It's built into who you are. Because threaded through the whole of the Bible is God's continual call to his people to be fruitful and to multiply and to increase. Isaiah 9 verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Father God is an infinitely increasing God. So do you think you'll ever understand God fully? Ever? At some point, will you? I don't know. Because if he is infinitely increasing, will I be able to infinitely catch up? I don't know. One day it says, I'll fully know, just as I am fully known, doesn't it? So maybe we will. But I struggle sometimes to get my head round it in terms of if he is infinitely increasing, then how would I be able to infinitely catch up? I don't know. But the reality is that God is increasing constantly. And as his children who have been made in his likeness, then there must be something of that in us, a desire to increase, to multiply, to be fruitful. It's in us. And so when God speaks and he spoke to Adam and to Eve, he said, go forth, multiply, increase, have dominion. It was part of his command to mankind because he put it in us because we're like him. We've been created in his image. And so we should be looking to see increase. We should be looking to see increase in our expectation. In our desire to understand of Scripture, we should be looking for increase. We should be looking for increase in revelation. We should be looking for increase in signs and wonders and miracles. We should be looking for increase in people coming to faith. It should be in us. We should be expecting to see fruitfulness and increase in evangelism. Fruitfulness for us as Christians and the church must mean people coming to faith.
Yeah.
It must do. So where are you at? Does increase, fruitfulness, multiplication describe every aspect of your Christian life? Or would better words be settled, mundane, mediocre, average?
No.
Well done, good old Duncan. Because I read in a book recently called The Renegade Pastor, it says average does not lead to life change. Average, mundane, mediocre, comfortable, and settled does not lead to life change. So I'm just listening to my friend. Is that hitting a nerve with anybody? As you're sitting there, you're honestly thinking, do you know what? Actually, my life is average. Anyone? Okay, why don't you stand where you are? Well done. Whoa. God's so good, isn't it? Isn't he? He's like, before we've even got anywhere, before I haven't even preached my passage out yet. And the Holy Spirit's saying, come on, keep up. I'm doing something here. Okay. Okay. we're kind of evenly split half and half. So there's half standing, half sat. So if you're near someone who's standing, put your hand on them, stand with them. If you know Jesus, you're full of the Spirit, then just put your hand. And if you're together and stood, then just lay your hands on each other. That's fine. I just want to bless what the Holy Spirit's doing. And just there was in that moment, he was doing something, clearly. So, Father, I just want to bless what you're doing. Holy Spirit, thank you that you always preach a better word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're always working. Lord, we try hard to write and preach good sermons, but Holy Spirit, you're always ahead. And I thank you. Thank you that you have touched hearts here. And Lord, we just want to break off average right now. We want to break off mundane. We want to break off mediocre thinking right now in Jesus' name. And we speak increase and fruitfulness into being. We speak it out right now in every life, over every person that has stood and said, you know what, that's me. Then Lord, we say, come, meet with them. Holy Spirit, touch their heart. Turn their mind around. Would you change their thinking? As they've stood, I pray, Lord, that they would step into something special, significant this morning in their lives. That they would walk out of this place no longer thinking average thoughts, no longer going along with the mundane day to day, but Lord, would be fruitful in all that you've given them to do. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Wonderful. Wow. Wow, this is all your fault saying, let's just see what God will do. Yeah. All right. I won't get through this, but that's okay. Okay, so average doesn't lead to life change. And that's what I think, if we're not careful, we end up with, if we think about faithfulness as the goal. Because just being faithful will produce average. He's always faithful to something. God is faithful to save. He is faithful in his love towards us. He is faithful to move in signs and wonders. He is faithful to do stuff. And we need to learn to be faithful as well, but as our method, not the objective. And so I want us to look at a passage of scripture that you'll be very familiar with. We're going to look at the story that Jesus told, a parable of the talents. Okay, now talents were just money. It was cash. It was currency. So we're not going to go with the twee kind of quaint idea that it's our talents and our skills. That wasn't what the hearers would have understood, and it certainly wasn't what the speakers were speaking about. They were talking about cash. They were talking about work. They were talking about that kind of thing. Now, there are parallels and allegories we can draw from it, and that's okay, but that's not what we're going to be looking at here. We're going to be looking at what actually happened here. And Jesus said this, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, according to his ability. And then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had only received 1 talent went away, dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me to me 5 talents, and here I've made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground here. You have what is yours.' But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, but he will have, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There we go. Duncan can explain what the last verse means another time. But it's a happy ending to that piece of the story. Not for that guy. But this story shows us two really important things. The first is what I've already been speaking about, which is faithfulness is a method. It's not the objective. The ones who were fruitful in this story, they were the ones that were rewarded. And that is what we read here. The ones who were fruitful, they were faithful with what they'd been given. So that was the method. But they were faithful in being fruitful. And that was what they were rewarded for. And in this story, the three servants were all entrusted with an amount of money. And the amount, in some senses, is not relevant. It's just an amount of money, which in those days were called talents, as I've said. And the point is that the master gave each of the servants something. It's worth noting that he doesn't give them all the same. He doesn't give them all equally. They receive different amounts. They receive a different measure of the master's favor. He distributed his wealth as he saw fit. He didn't distribute his money in a way in our kind of Western culture we would think is fair. Would we? It's not equal. He gave simply as he willed. And I wonder sometimes, how do we compare ourselves? Or why do we even compare ourselves to others? How often do we look at what the Holy Spirit has gifted others with and then look kind of unfavorably on ourselves? Why is it what everybody else has seems to be so much more appealing than what I've got? Why does their gift always seem more appealing than what I've been gifted with? Why is it we always feel quite often that the Holy Spirit has dealt us a bit of a bad hand when it's compared to everybody else? See, the reality is we know that the Holy Spirit gives his gifts as he wills. The master in this story gave out his gifts, his money, his goodness to each in different ways, in varying amounts. And it's not often how we think, well, that's not fair. That's not right. But he always does it for our good and for his glory. And he gives his gifts as he chooses, not as we will. The word I'm really hearing quite strongly here is comparison. Comparison. Would anybody identify with that? What I've said, you kind of been struggling with that sense of I'm always comparing myself actually to somebody else. If you want to stand, if that's you, you're always kind of constantly comparing yourself to someone else, wishing that you had their gifts, their abilities. You wish your kids were as well behaved as that couple's kids. That you wish your wife was as gifted or as involved as his wife. Where you think, you wish your husband had as much oomph as her husband. Oh, look, someone stood up now. No, don't look round. Don't see who's standing up for that one. No. Okay, but I'm just getting this in the comparison. The Holy Spirit's on that word, yeah? Jump in. I don't know where the mics have gone.
I feel like some of the people that responded earlier about being average and having that average mundane life, that actually part of that is you're living under a lie that your life is average and mundane because you've been comparing it to other people's and you've been comparing it to, you know, the exciting things you see other people doing. And I feel like as much as you responded to that, that there's a response in this, that you've been comparing your lives and that actually they're not mundane, and you're, so that that's the fruitfulness that you're living in because you're living under the lie, and yeah, that well God done. Just wants to break that.
Well done. Well done. Is there anybody else want to stand? Well done. Okay, wonderful. Actually, give me that, mate. You pray. Okay. It's not on.
Oh. Shouldn't be allowed technology. Yeah, Holy Spirit, I thank you that, that you are faithful, God. I thank you that, as Andy said at the beginning, we are all your favourites, that there is no comparison in you, that we are all your favourites. And I just speak that over every single person that's standing right now. I just speak over you that you are God's favourite, that the things that he has given you, the talents that he has given you, the calling that he has put in your life, it is amazing. It's not average. It's not mundane. It's not any better or any worse than anybody else's. And Holy Spirit, I just pray for you to come and fill each one of these individuals. I come and pray for you to take away lies and leave your truth and your blessing and your encouragement over these people. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just come and come in power. Come and release people from lies. Come and release people from comparison. And just give people eyes to see themselves as you see them, to see themselves as your chosen sons and daughters.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you.
Amen. Wonderful. God is so good. He's so good, isn't he? That's so nice. Wonderful. Okay, I'll try and get back to what I'm trying to talk about. That's okay. It's fine. As I say, you know, our Holy Spirit will often preach to you a better sermon than I ever will. So if he's speaking, all right, easy. I'm just enjoying his favour right now. I know he's always favourite. No. So we will. Come on. We'll get back. Pay attention. Stop messing about. Right. Okay, so what we learn from this parable is the objective that the master had in giving them the money was not to test their faithfulness. He gave them the money in order to see them fruitful. You see, all of the men were faithful. None of them lost what they'd been given. They were all faithful in that regard. Even the one that got into trouble at the end, as it were, okay, he had preserved the gift that he'd been given, but he'd forgotten that the purpose of receiving the gift was to be fruitful. So if you're crying out to God for gifts, you know, you see people prophesying, saying, I want to prophesy like that. The point that is not that you receive a gift and that you hang on to it. The point is that you are then fruitful with that gift. That's the purpose. Because we are called to fruitfulness. And that's what the other two men understood. They understood that the method was faithfulness, but the objective was fruitfulness. And I believe that actually as Christians, as a church, even as a wider church, that we have erred towards just not losing what God has given us and to be faithful in not losing it, in preserving what we've been given, and we've forgotten that the purpose we've been given it is to be fruitful. It's not just, well, I haven't lost what you've given me, Lord God. And sometimes I hear it, you know, people saying, you know, what God's doing, well, you know, not a lot, we're not seeing anything, we're just going to be faithful. And you're thinking, no. Be faithful at being fruitful. That's what we're called to. And so your personal call, your personal destiny, your destiny as a church together, our corporate destiny as churches is to be fruitful, is to multiply, is to fill the earth. And that is what we're called to do. And the Bible says right from the very beginning that we as sons and daughters of God are called to be fruitful. As I said, the first commission to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase. It wasn't to be faithful with what you've got and don't mess up the garden. Adam had to work. You know? And he said, you work. He had to work in the garden. And God's plan was for the garden to expand. Is to increase. It was only because sin came that it was locked off. And so that was God's plan all along. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And so we're not called to average, to mediocrity, to just kind of hanging in there, comfortable lives of an existence of service, of even faithfulness. We are called to be fruitful. And what we see in this story is that the one that wasn't fruitful, the master was very disappointed with him, to say the least. And we're called to be fruitful, not just to hang on to stuff. And before I was a pastor, I was a sales director. And it's worth remembering that we're not called to be salesmen who never sell anything. We used to have a word for those kind of salesmen. Fired. Might sound a bit harsh, a bit cold-blooded even, a bit mercenary, not very pastoral. You may well think that, but let's just have a look at this passage. But his master answered him, this was the man that had just buried his talent, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I'd not sown, and gather where I'd scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And you thought I was harsh. The master of the story was displeased because the man had misunderstood the objective. The objective was not faithfulness. It wasn't losing. Just don't lose what you've been given. It was be fruitful with what you've been given. And even if it's a minute increase, which it would be if you were putting it on deposit in this country right now, even if it was a minute increase, God would have been grateful, if you like, because you'd have been fruitful even in the smallest amount. So what we can take from that is not necessarily the amount of fruitfulness. Okay? It was just that there was fruitfulness, however small. God's looking for multiplication, for increase, for fruitfulness from what he has entrusted to you. It's an increase from what he's entrusted to you. It's not an increase compared to this person or that person. It's an increase on what he's entrusted to you. Yeah. And if you're a single mum, then compare that to some maybe big corporate business owner. If you try and compare what your fruitfulness may appear to look like against his, you'll be thinking, well, I'll never do that. But God has called us to be fruitful what he's given to us. It will be in proportion to what he has given us. The guy with 5 made 5. The guy with 2 made 2. Actually, the guy with 1 should have made 1. And God's calling us to be fruitful for what he's entrusted to you. So if you just think, well, I've only led one person to faith. If that's the measure of grace that God's given to you, then you've been fruitful with what he's given to you. But if he's called you to 10 and you only see 1, then have you been fruitful with what he's called you to do? Because he is a father of increase. He is a God of increase. And that is in our DNA. And so he has called us to fruitfulness. Now, I haven't got time to go through everything, but I wonder, can you ping to almost the last slide with the big circle on it, the very last one, if we can? You're doing well to even keep up. Keep going. Oh, keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going. That one. No, back one. Here we go. Okay, so, you know, I said at the beginning that we were wanted the presence of God. We want that above all else, but we want to be disciples who make disciples. We want to have a show and tell gospel. We want to be fruitful. And so this diagram, if you like, it's not brilliant, but it helps us. So what we see is that I'm on one side, fruitfulness is on the other. And it's not work quite like that, but just come with me. Okay, and the point is it's our faithfulness in pursuing Him, in pursuing His presence, as we come into His presence, as we encounter Him, then that's where we find ourselves propelled towards fruitfulness. Signs and wonders, miracles, that all comes from being in the presence of God. And so it's our faithfulness that pushes us into the presence of God. We're faithful in pursuing Him. We're faithful in expecting Him to turn up. We're faithful in taking risks for the gospel. It's like going out with Christina on the streets. You know, take some risks. Be fruitful with what God's given you. Take some risks, and it's our faithfulness that presses us into the presence of God that then propels us to fruitfulness. And what I just want to do is take 1 second to warn you of something. See, something I've learned the hard way is that hunger is not the same as ambition. And ambition isn't the same thing as hunger. And part of my journey has been recognizing that I was ambitious for God. I was ambitious for the church. I was ambitious for the kingdom. I was even ambitious for signs and wonders, but I wasn't hungry for Him. And so what you find is ambition will do, and I think we need to go back a slide. What ambition does is look to circumnavigate the presence of God in order to get to fruitfulness. And that's what ambition does. And that's why it's not the same as hunger. So let's, I don't want to dwell on that slide. Let's move to the other one again. I like that one better. Okay, so we want to, our faithfulness in pursuing Him pushes us into that place. And as we do that, then we'll be propelled towards fruitfulness. I'm not sure why I have notes. I'm no idea where we are now. And I think for many, that's a big moment when you can recognize that, do you know what? Actually, I've been working really hard at being fruitful, but I've been trying to go round the presence of God and circumnavigate that towards fruitfulness rather than pressing into Him. And that was my story. That was my truth. That I was looking to be a fruitful pastor, seeing the church grow and do all of those things. But actually, when I really boiled it down, I was just using my charisma, my skill, my business acumen, my marketing skills in order to grow the church's ambition. It wasn't hunger. Wasn't hunger for Him. And that, I've been a pastor for many years by then. Does anybody identify with that? Anybody say, yeah, do you know what? I think I'm probably a bit like that. Anyone? Okay, one. Feel free to stand if that's two. Okay, why don't we stand if that's you? It's okay. I've been there, I've done it. And everything changes once you recognize this is what it's like. Everything changes. You get hungry for Him. And as you do, as you pursue the presence of God, suddenly you find a fruitfulness that you just never expected. And that's really great. So again, if you're around, these three guys have stood. If you can get around them, just pop your hand up if you want in prayer. No one's with you, just so people know where you are. That's great. Wonderful. Come on, church, get up. Let's get your hands on these people. Look, do you want to bless them? Do you want to see them pressing into the presence of God? You want to see their hunger stirred for more of Him? Let's stand with one another. Someone get on the PA desk. Let's have some guys up on the PA desk. Go and pray with the guy up there. Thank you, Jesus. Well done. Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the boldness and courage of these men. Father, thank you that they are willing to say, yes, I see that in myself and I want more. I don't want to be just fruitful at the expense of anything else. I want to be hungry for you. I want to be hungry for you. I want to be faithful in pursuing you. And so, Father, we want to bless what you're blessing. We want to bless their courage. We want to bless their determination. And, Father, we say, Lord, would you, by your Holy Spirit, would you begin to stir their hunger? Jesus, you're known as the bread of heaven. And actually, what we'll do is we're going to pray for the bread of heaven to come, because you know what it's like when you're walking down the high street and you're not hungry and suddenly you smell the bakery and all of a sudden you're starving. You weren't hungry at all a minute ago, and now you're starving because you can smell fresh bread. Now let's pray for the aroma of heaven, for the smell of the bread of heaven to come and begin to stir you to hunger. Even though you weren't hungry before, suddenly now we prophesy over you that you become hungry as you begin to smell the aroma of heaven, the Jesus, the bread of heaven himself, as you begin to smell the aroma that actually your stomach, you're like your spiritual stomach will be stirred again for hunger. And suddenly you're ravenous. Suddenly nothing else will do. We prophesy this over you right now. Nothing else will do. No amount of fruitfulness separate from a hunger for his presence will do. Prophesy that over these guys in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm gonna finish with two sentences, really. They might be long ones. But it lulls you into a false sense of security that I'm actually going to stop. I'll start where I finish. It's that pursuit of the presence of God. It's that desire to see people saved and added, for us to be fruitful, and that we get to do a show and tell gospel. And so we're called to be fruitful with what we've been given. But actually the call to fruitfulness is not above all else. It's always as we pursue him, as we pursue his presence. And as we do that, that doesn't release us from our call to be fruitful, but it should be the thing that propels us to that fruitfulness. So let me pray for you as a church. If you want to stand, I'd love to pray with you. And then we'll finish. I know you've got to get your kids, so let me just honour the kids workers by doing that. And then I don't know what we'll do to finish, but we love praying for the sick and stuff like that, so we're really cool with that. But let me just pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that this is a church who's hungry for more of you. I thank you, Lord God, that it's evident that they are passionate for you. And Father, we say, Lord God, would you continue to pour out your presence as they gather? Lord God, as they're in their twos or threes or in their hundreds as they meet here, Lord God, whatever the number, Lord, I pray that your presence would be so evident. And Father, we pray, Lord, that pursuit of your presence would propel them to fruitfulness. I pray, Lord God, that you would cause each person to be fruitful with what they have been given. Lord God, not just to be holding on to what they've been entrusted with in the hope they won't lose it, but actually to use it in order to be fruitful, to see multiplication and increase. And so, Father, we speak that, I prophesy that over this church, Lord, that they would be known as a church of your presence and of increase and of multiplication. We prophesy that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.